Hey, the next agenda item is update from the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind. And to present this agenda item is Scott Falcone, Director of Outreach Services with the School for the Deaf and Blind. I've had the opportunity to meet Scott on numerous occasions, working with the Vision Partnership and so forth. And Scott does a wonderful job. And so at this time, I'll turn the program over to Scott Falcone.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard, hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. The guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell.
Well, good morning, and what a introduction and a good song choice. Thank you, Mr. Koppel, and the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind. As Mr. Koppel has stated, I am the statewide director of the Division of Outreach Services and work very closely with our president, Dr. Paige McCraw. I'll be giving you an update of both the agency based on the main campus and, of course, the Division of Outreach Services for services that we provide statewide. And I also want to say thank you to Ms. Darlene Graham because she has pretty much captured some of the information from a state agency perspective that I was going to share with you. So instead of boring you with the details twice, maybe I can just kind of shed some light of where we are today as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic and some of the changes that impacted education here in the state of South Carolina. For many of you, you already are aware that the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind itself is a residential school, and we also do serve day students. We had a plan to open our main campus for face-to-face instruction this year on August 17th, and we had brought in all of our day students on August 14th for registration and get them acclimated to the campus. And then we had plans to bring all of our residential students back on the 16th, which is Sunday, to register and be ready for classes to begin on Monday. Unfortunately, on the 14th, when we had our day students come back over that weekend, the weekend of the 15th and the 16th, we had COVID-19 cases appear on our campus. So we had to go ahead and cancel our residential students for coming on Sunday the 16th to register and open classes face-to-face on the 17th. However, our plans were done very well. We went ahead and contacted all the parents and let everybody know that we were not going to begin face-to-face instruction on our main campus starting the 17th, and that we had diverted a plan to make sure that we could get technology into the hands of all of our students. So this past week, we had our bus drivers and we had our staff on campus working with families to get technology in their hands in order to begin a virtual or online instruction platform beginning on the 24th, which will be on Monday. We're planning on this to be very short term as we all know the CDC guidelines, recommended guidelines have changed slightly. We wanted to make sure that we kept our campus free of individuals for at least 14 days to make sure that we can bring back our students and our staff safely. And I'm going to repeat Ms. Darlene Graham's words, safety is our key. So with that being said, some of the changes that we have made based on the pandemic is to obviously practice social distancing. Our classrooms will be spaced far apart. Our students will be spaced far apart, and we also will be providing face masks and all of the PPE, personal protective equipment, not only for our staff, but we will be providing that for our students. In our residential setting, and one thing that we are thankful for is we are a very large campus up there in Spartanburg that we are able to spread all of our students out where we're going to place them in one room. So one student per room during the residential setting time. And if there is a family member of a student, there might be a possibility where they could actually share a room. But other than that, we're really taking some very strong precautions in order to practice social distancing, ensuring that our students are safe, and obviously making sure that our not just the students, but our staff that are in our residential programs all day and all night are safe too. We're hoping to resume face-to-face instruction on the 31st of August. That will allow us enough time in between the current situation that we had over last weekend to where we hope we can bring the students back face-to-face. It's really important that we bring our students back for a lot of reasons, state testing and assessments and so forth, to get an idea of where our students were when we left campus in March unexpectedly to where we are today. And like most school districts, or I should say all school districts, because I work with them across the state, are doing the same thing. And you may have heard of a leap days or leap education days that school districts are doing across the state. And normally, those leap days are scheduled for students to take assessments or get some feedback related to kind of where they were before they left, or where they were when they left to where they are today. Obviously, many school districts, or all the school districts across the state, including the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind, has provided or did provide instructional materials over the period of March to the end of the school year, the academic school year, and then again, you know, picking up as they come back this fall. The buses are going to be done a little bit differently. For those of you who know, we send buses all over the state of South Carolina in all corners to pick up our students and bring them to Spartanburg. We are running all of our bus capacity at 50% in order to follow the CDC guidelines and DHEC guidelines. The key thing to remember, even though we are a state agency here in South Carolina, we are a school, so we have to follow guidelines that are provided to us from the Department of Health and Environmental Control, which is DHEC, and of course the South Carolina Department of Education. Our school calendar has been posted on our main website, and our school calendar, it took us a while to get the school calendar posted because of the planning and the process to get kids back into school was going to vary across the state. If you take a look at our school calendar, one of the plans that we're hoping to do is that we will send our kids home during the Thanksgiving break, which is 3 days, and then they will stay home and have virtual platform instruction for the 3 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that would allow us the opportunity on our main campus to do a thorough deep cleaning to get everything all set and sanitized and ready for them to come back on January 4th after the holidays. It also provides extra safety precautions, knowing that some students and staff and family members do travel out of state into other parts of the country to visit family during the holiday period. So we want to take that safety precaution, being that we're a residential school, to take the opportunity between that 3 weeks and have our staff really make sure that our school is sanitized. However, our teachers will be reporting to the classroom on a routine basis, providing virtual instruction. All of what we have learned from the virtual model is that it has been very successful for us, but at the same time, we want to make sure that our teachers are in their main classroom reporting to work on a regular basis and providing instruction from the classroom for all of our students across the state. The Outreach Services Division, which is the division that I'm responsible for, as you all know, is a very comprehensive and large division in the School for the Deaf and Blind. We provide itinerant services across the state and contract with school district in various services as far as education is concerned, as well as our early intervention program that serves children from birth to age 5. From our blind and visually education services that we provide, which is our itinerant teachers of visually impaired and orientation mobility specialists to districts across the state, we are seeing a hybrid model, we are seeing face-to-face model, and we're also seeing virtual platform models. We have been working very hard over the summer and with special education directors and school districts across the state to make sure that we are fully prepared to provide whatever instructional model they have decided to adopt at the beginning of the school year and throughout the school year. We are prepared. We're excited. We have many different options. Our teachers started last week, or actually they came back 2 weeks ago, but some instruction had started last week, and some of them are doing virtual. Some of them are beginning the face-to-face, and some don't begin until September 8th, until after Labor Day. So it has been kind of different because we have looking at schedules across all school districts and people starting at different times, but also their models are also different too. It's a good challenge for all of us, and we have learned a lot, and we're very excited about the opportunity of learning more. This has definitely shed some light on myself. I was just speaking to many of you know Marty McKenzie, who's our principal of our blind and visually impaired education services here in the outreach division, and also he serves as a statewide consultant for through the Department of Education for blind and visually impaired children. He and I had a discussion about all the years that we have been in this field, myself, you know, well over 25 years in education. And this is the first time we ever were faced with a challenge like this. And we were very successful. And I'm extremely proud of how the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind, the administration team here at the School for the Deaf and Blind, our students, our teachers, our staff, our faculty members, rolled up their sleeves and were able to provide services across the state. Our early intervention program currently is serving. We have a little over 388 infants and toddlers on our caseload right now. It's a division between blind and deaf. We are providing telehealth models through the Department of Health and Human Resources, Department and Health Human Services. They are providing us guidance on how we can provide direct services to those infants and toddlers across the state. As many of you know, orientation mobility is more of a hands-on, face-to-face model, and we are working with families on how we can provide some of those services from a social distancing perspective, whether it's we meet them like if they're in the yard or outside near their homes, where we can instruct the family members as they work with those students on how to navigate and so forth. But again, because the BabyNet system or the early intervention system in South Carolina is still continuing to allow all of the service providers to provide services via telehealth, we are going to provide that model as much as we can. Again, it's about making sure that not only of our staff, the safety of our staff, but also the safety of the families and the infants and toddlers that we serve across the state. Our Deafblind project, I've been extremely impressed with the amount of workshops and trainings and professional development opportunities and technical assistant opportunities that they had developed using the Zoom platform. Not only were they providing services just for members of us here in the state of South Carolina, but they have opened it up to a national platform, and we've had more than 300-400 people attending some of the workshops and trainings that the Deafblind Project provided over the course of the summer. We've been very challenged, but at the same time, very excited about the results and the outcomes of all of the services that we provide across the state. Darlene had mentioned earlier about the phase-in plans, the phase one, the phase two, and the phase three based on state agencies. And obviously we look at ourselves, we are a state agency, but we also are a school. And currently our outreach offices, which are located in our main outreach offices located here in Columbia. We have another office located in Charleston, which is in the same complex where the Commission for the Blind is. And we also have our offices up on our main campus. We have been in a phase one, phase two limbo, and most of the staff in the outreach division will not be reporting directly to the office until September 8th. We are waiting until after the Labor Day weekend for many of reasons, because number one, we want to make sure that we don't bring too many employees in all at once while we're trying to get students and staff safely acclimated acclimated and ready to start on our main campus. At the same time, making sure that our staff who provide those itinerant services have the ability to access these offices to make sure that they can get the materials that they need in order to provide those services. After the Labor Day weekend, we will be operating just like Darlene's offices are. We will be operating on an AB schedule. We will have a Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday type model where it's an AB day where we'll have half the staff reporting on each of those days within all of our outreach centers. At the same time, on the Fridays, we are going to make most of the administration, myself included, and other members of our staff work from a remote aspect in order to open up our offices for our teachers and our early interventionists that are spread across the state to be able to come in to pull files and be able to work on their files and work on some of the things that they need to work on those Fridays. And of course, we will be spacing those out. We'll be spacing their time out so that way we can practice social distancing also. One of the biggest impacts that I have to say that caused me to shift in several different gears is the closing of the Department of Corrections Leith Correctional Facility, where our Braille Production Center is currently located. As you know, the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind is, in conjunction with the Department of Education, is responsible for providing state-adopted textbooks in Braille and large print format for all of our students across the state. Our summer months are always our busiest months when it comes to our Instruction Materials Center and our Braille Production Center, because that is the time is when we are brailing and also embossing in large print books for our kids and be ready in their hands when school starts in August. Unfortunately, the Department of Corrections, especially at the Leith Correctional Facility where our Braille Production Center is located, has closed their facilities down, and we had to close our Braille Production Center down, and it continues to remain closed. Luckily, we didn't have newly state-adopted textbooks where we had to scurry and try to figure out how we were going to get them into the hands of our students on the first day of school. We had taken some of the operations at the Braille Production Center, and we have moved those operations to our Instruction Materials Center located on our main campus. And we've also been utilizing some of our staff members within the outreach division who reside across the state to provide, that are certified in Braille transcription, to provide some of the transcribing that is needed for these books in order to get them into the hands of our children. So even though the Braille Production Center, the Leith Correctional Facility, is shut down and they do have COVID-19 cases there on that particular, in that particular correctional facility, we continue to work very diligently in ensuring that we live by our mission and our vision here at the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind Division of Outreach Services, and ensuring that all of our students and our kids will receive what they need when school starts. Thankfully, we have the staff members on our staff to be able to provide those services who are certified in those areas. Which has been pretty neat is we've even purchased brand new embossers to make sure that we have those deployed to the homes of those people where they can actually work on some transcribing from their own residence. So for that, I'm very thankful. And I'm also very thankful that I have a very, very good, strong administration team here at the Division of Outreach Services and a very supportive administration team here at the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind for us in the Division of Outreach Services and our main campus to continue to provide services not only to the main campus students, but across the state of South Carolina. I am extremely excited to see how some of these changes will impact the delivery model of education in the near future. It has definitely, and I'm sure if any of you have talked to Mr. Marty McKenzie at all, it definitely has provided me with some new ideas. And of course, as a person who's been here well over 20 years at the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind, I'm closer to retirement than I am to developing new ideas, but I never stop and I never stop thinking. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the future of education will look like, knowing that we have had the ability to access these virtual platforms like we did suddenly when the pandemic impacted us here in the United States in the earlier part of this calendar year. This does conclude my presentation, and I would like to just leave you with my contact information. If you do have any questions, please do reach out to me. I do, and I am working remotely a few days a week, and I also travel quite a bit between offices and the main campus during the week. So the best way to get a hold of me is definitely through email, and I will give you my email address. And if it's too fast, then you can look it up online. And I know most, if not all of you know Mr. Marty McKenzie, and he will not be shy to defer you to me. My email address is S Falcone, F as in Frank, A-L-C-O, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, at scsdb.org. I do encourage you to reach out to me if you have any questions, or even if you just want to chat about some things that are going on in your areas to see if there's something that the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind Division of Outreach Services can provide you some insight for. I'd be more happy to do that. Again, thank you for this opportunity to provide this update on behalf of the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind. And I thank you and wish you all well.